You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Well, let's open our Bibles tonight, please, if you will, to the Old Testament, book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12, page number 366, if you have an old Scofield Bible. And I'd like to read a sentence, just a sentence tonight, if you'll bear with me. And then I want to preach from memory. I want to preach from your memory a little bit from the story of David tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Man, after an introduction like that, I might go out to the car and sign my own Bible after church tonight. Wow. I wish my wife could be here to hear that. I try to tell her she don't believe me, but Brother Treiber, thank you so much. What an honor. What an honor. I heard about the story about these two old drunks one night, and they'd both been drinking real bad, and the moon was out. It was a full moon, and they were out walking the road, just staggering everywhere. And finally, one of them staggered off in the ditch and rolled down a hill and wound up at a farm pond down at the bottom of the hill. And sometime later that night, he woke up, and he saw the reflection of that full moon down on that pond water. And he hollered up to his buddy. He said, "Hey, Joe," he said, "come down here." That old boy staggered down there for just a minute. And finally he said, "Hey, what do you want?" He said, "Look down there." And his buddy said, "Yeah, what?" He said, "How do we get up here?" And that's a question I'd like to ask tonight. How in the world did I get up here? I am a peon from Podunk. I really am. But what a joy it is to be back again this year for the pastor's conference. And I love Pastor Treiber. He has such a great spirit about him. And I was telling Brother Robert a moment ago, man, I need to hang around him more because he makes me want to do better. And I mean that. There's two or three men in my life. Every time I get around them, they just make me want to do better. And Brother Treiber, I got a mean streak about this wide in me, and I need to hang around the right kind of people. And Brother Treiber is that kind of a person. He's so hospitable, loves the Lord, genuinely loves people. And I'm just honored to be here again this year, and I'm glad you're here. God bless each and every one of you. I appreciate Brother Mark Leone. Brother Mark's with me this year. He's a graduate from out here at Golden State, and I was bragging on him highly just a moment ago when he stepped out of the room. I was bragging on him real highly. But really, boy, I tell you, if every man that leaves this college is as kind and as good and as Brother Mark Leone, I'm telling you, y'all are getting the work done. And I love him dearly, appreciate him. I dream things, and then I look at Brother Mark and say, "Brother Mark, do this." And I mean, without a flinch, Brother Mark's on it like crazy. And I appreciate him so much. I'm glad he's here. We have other folks from our church here this year as well. And it's so good to see the Marians with us tonight. And then I appreciate those who are watching back home. And it's late back home. Good night. It's 11:30. No, it's, yeah, it's, what time? I don't even know what time it is, but it's late. And I appreciate them staying up and joining us tonight for this service. My wife always gets after me. She says, "I don't tell too many jokes, but man, I don't preach long. And if I don't tell jokes, we're going to get out here and the food ain't even going to be done yet." So would you bear with me just a moment? Let me tell you. Heard about this man. He was 85 years old, and he decided one day he was going to go fishing. So he went down to the pond and got the little rowboat. He rowed out there to the middle of the pond, reached down to grab his fishing rod. And when he did, there was a frog in the bottom of the boat. And the frog looked at him, 85 years old. The frog looked at him and said, "If you'll kiss me, I'll turn into a beautiful princess." Well, he didn't say anything. He just rolled back to the shore again and reached down and got the frog, started sticking it in his pocket. And the frog said, "Didn't you hear me? I said if you'd kiss me, I'd become a beautiful princess." He said, "Ma'am, in my age, I'd just soon to have a talking frog." Yeah. Yeah. I went over real good. I got two cards of these things up here, man. Heard about this one lady. Her husband many years passed away, and he left her $20,000 worth of life insurance. She was so happy. She was telling everybody, $20,000. And she was so thrilled about that. She finally had a little money. And then two or three weeks later, one of her friends saw her uptown and said, "How you doing?" She said, "I'm broke." She said, "You're broke? I thought your husband left you $20,000. She said he did, but she said it was $5,000 for the funeral and $15,000 for the memorial stone. She said $15,000 for the memorial stone. How big is that memorial stone? She said 3.5 carats. Man, this is going good. Okay. I better quit. My wife will be texting me here in a minute. I said, I told you 2 jokes and that's enough. Thank you so much. I love you. Thank you for praying for us. Y'all are such kind people. And oh my goodness. I mean, you kill a person with kindness here. And thank you so much for praying. And the meals have been wonderful. The accommodations and just the privilege to be around folks like y'all is just a real blessing. Thank you so much. Can I read tonight 2 Samuel chapter 12? I want to read one sentence of just a verse, and then I want to preach from your memory tonight. And I'm preaching to preachers, obviously, but I hope the Lord will use it to just encourage us all. And I'll be quick about it. Somebody said Elizabeth Taylor told her 8th husband, I won't keep you long. And so I won't keep you long tonight. I promise you that. So look at verse number 1. And here's what the Word of God said. Just one sentence. Here's what we read. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. Now, if I read that correctly, I think what we're told in that text is God sent David a preacher. And for just a little while tonight, I want to preach on this thought. Every creature needs a preacher. Would you bear with me for just a moment? Let's pray. Father, thank you. The singing has been wonderful. Thank you for the music, the singing, the atmosphere, and the Holy Spirit of God that is in this place. And I sure don't want to do anything to hinder these nights, these moments. Lord, I want to be a blessing, but I can't do it if you don't help me. So I'm just going to surrender myself to you, and Lord, I'll do my best. But it sure would be good if the Spirit of God would just help me and give me a little touch of liberty tonight. Thank you for everything we've heard from the preaching of this week so far and the sessions this morning and just the opportunity to be in God's house in these days. What a blessing. And I pray that you'd bless your word now and help us and speak to us tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text tonight is about a man, obviously, that we all know, a man by the name of King David. David is the second most mentioned person in all of our Bible, second only to that of the Lord Jesus himself. Without doubt, David was the greatest king that ever sat upon the earthly throne of the nation of Israel. It almost seems like God used David as a yardstick to measure the success or the failure of every king that would sit upon the throne after him. How many times in the Old Testament do we read that so-and-so did that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father had done? Or we turn around and we read this, and so-and-so did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord as David his father had done. It's almost like David was the yardstick that God used to measure the success or failure of any other king that would sit upon the nation of Israel after him. You know, David was a very personable and likable man. David wore many hats in the Bible. David was a shepherd, obviously. David was a soldier. David was a sage. David was a spouse. David was a singer. David was a sinner. But David was a socialite. Yeah, David had the kind of personality. He must have been very winsome, very personable, because he attracted people. Even in the dark days of his life, when he was running from King Saul and hiding in caves and woods, we read over and over again that people resorted unto David. Those that were in distress and those that were in debt and those who were depressed and their life was a real mess. Even in those dark days of David's life, they resorted unto David. And that leads me to say that there's a lot of people in the Bible who step into and out of the story of David. I mean, there's many people that we read about, and their stories are interwoven or intertwined within the story of King David. I think it's remarkable to note when you read about these people who stepped into and out of the story of David, one of the things that you can't help but note is that what these people did with David determined what David did with them. If they honored David, if they loved David, if they served David, you know, they came out good. But on the other hand, if they cursed David and they were disloyal to David, things didn't turn out too well with them in the Bible. And I just want to say, whatever we do with Jesus will determine what Jesus is going to do with us. You make room in your heart for Jesus, and bless your heart, Jesus will make room in heaven for you. What you do and what I do with Jesus will determine what Jesus does with us. Well, I'm just interested, and I preached recently through the lives, different lives that stepped into and out of the story of David. But I couldn't help but notice, as you read through the story of David, of the different preachers who stepped into and out of the life of David. One of the things that we do at our church, and I know everybody in here does this, but you know, anytime somebody gets saved at our church, we're on them right away about getting baptized. You know, we think the first step anybody ought to make after they get saved is they ought to get baptized. And we push that at our church, even among the bus kids. I mean, we get permission from the parents to baptize them. So, you know, most of the time, most of the services at our church, there's always baptisms going on. And I used to be the one to baptize a whole lot, but now that Brother Mark's there, I make him do all the baptizing, and I just sit there and just enjoy it. But when I do baptize, and occasionally somebody will say, "Preacher," and I don't know why, but they say, "Preacher, we'd like for you to baptize us," and then I'll baptize them. And I always say something like this when we get done baptizing them. I'll say, "Thus we fulfill the word of God to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature," and then I add, "because every creature needs a preacher." Did you know that David, as great a man as David was, David himself even needed a preacher? And so we read in the story of David, there were three prophets who stepped into and out of the story of David. Now, I know a prophet is different than a preacher. I get that. Prophets were foretellers. Preachers are forthtellers. Prophets were men who spoke under the direct leading of the Spirit of God. Didn't have a Bible. They couldn't point to a chapter and a verse, but they spoke under the immediate leading of the Holy Spirit of God. But in these days, we don't have prophets, but bless your heart, we got some preachers, and they stand up and they say, "Okay, now this is what the Bible has to say." And thank God for preachers. Every creature needs a preacher. Now, if you're wondering tonight, say, "I'm sitting here, I'm not a preacher. What's in this message for me?" Well, the message for you tonight is simply this: love your preacher. You know, there's a verse in our Bible in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17, says something to this effect: "Obey them that have the rule over you." Now, let me just stop and say long enough, that ain't talking about the government tonight. Thank God for the president we've got, but you know, the truth of the matter is, our government isn't watching over our souls. Am I right? The Bible said, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch over your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Obviously, it's talking about the men of God. They watch over our souls, and we are to submit ourselves to the men of God. By the way, we submit ourselves to God because of the man of God who is preaching the Word of God. Have you ever thought about this before? The closest thing you and I will ever come to hearing the voice of God is when your preacher stands up in the pulpit and cracks open the King James Bible and begins to preach that book right there. You're listening to the closest voice of God that you'll ever hear on the top side of this earth. Thank God for preachers. They are watching over your soul. They're watching over your family. They're watching over your marriage. They're watching over your kids. They're watching over your testimony. They're watching over your joy. Thank God for preachers who are watching over our souls. And then the Bible said that we submit ourselves unto them. And then we read on that they may do it with joy and not with grief. You know, if you make the preacher's job hard on him, God's going to make life hard on you. I still believe that. You make the preacher lay in the bed and cry at night. You make the preacher lay in the bed and stay awake at night. You be a burden to the heart of the preacher. And the Word of God said God is going to make life hard on you. We need to make the preacher's job as easy as we possibly can make it. Make it a job of joy and not with grief. Because I'm already in enough trouble with God as it is. I sure don't want to get in any more trouble with God by making life hard on the preacher. Boy, we need to pray for the preacher. We need to lift up the preacher. We need to love the preacher. We need to listen to what the preacher says. Can I stop and say, if you listen, you know, in our day, counseling is the new cool. Did you know in our day, everybody's got a therapist? I mean, even in North Carolina, folks have got therapists, you know, and, well, I went to see my therapist this week, and this is what they told me. Can I tell you something? You could save yourself a whole lot of money and a whole lot of medicine if you just sit up in the pew with an open Bible and listen to that man of God as he preaches the Word of God. You can save yourself a whole lot of problem and a whole lot of heartache and a whole lot of mess in life if you just listen to the Word of God. We have counseling sessions at our church every Sunday morning. We come back on Sunday night. We have more counseling sessions on Sunday night. And bless your heart, we have counseling sessions even on Wednesday night at our church. You know, every time the Bible is preached, that's a good counsel. And if you'd set up and if I'd set up and listen to it and obey it, boy, we could save ourselves a whole lot of trouble in life. Yeah. So we have some prophets or some preachers that step into and out of the life of David. Can I give you three of them, three points, three prophets, three preachers? I'm going to refer to them as preachers from now on. But we have three preachers who stepped into and out of the life of David, because every creature needs a preacher. The first prophet or preacher that we read about that steps into the life of David was a preacher by the name of Samuel. Samuel was the first preacher, I guess we could say scripturally, according to the Bible, that David ever met. Boy, Samuel was a great man. Sometimes he oftentimes gets overlooked in the Bible, but I'll just remind you that there is a 1st and 2nd Samuel in our Bible. There's not a 1st and 2nd Abraham or a 1st and 2nd Moses. There's not even a 1st and 2nd David in our Bible, but we do have a 1st and 2nd Samuel in our Bible. And somebody said this, Samuel was the Billy Graham before there was a Billy Graham. Now, what I mean by that is they say that Billy Graham was the pastor to the presidents. Well, bless your heart, long before Billy Graham ever came on the scene, there was already a preacher for the kings of the nation of Israel, and his name was Samuel. You know, these opening chapters of the book of 1 Samuel deal with the life and the story of Samuel. We start out with the mother of Samuel. What a great lady she was. And then we move to the mentor of Samuel. I'm talking about Eli now. He may have been a mess, but he helped old Samuel along the journey as a young man. And then we read about the ministry of Samuel. The whole opening chapters of the book of 1 Samuel is all about Samuel. And then there comes the day when God has set Saul aside because of his rebellion and disobedience. God said, I'm done. Hey, shut the door, cut the lights out, crank the bus. I'm moving on for Saul. I got me another king that we're going to anoint. And God sends the preacher down to Jesse's house in the city of Bethlehem. And he goes down there and he's got a horn of oil that he's looking for somebody to pour that oil on. By the way, have you ever noticed this? When it came to Saul, he just used a little vial of oil. But when it came to David, bless your heart, he had to get a whole horn of oil. Buddy, I don't want that little Brill Cream religion. Just a little dab will do you, friend. Hey, buddy, put the oil on us. Hey, somebody open up the horn. Hey, somebody pour out the oil. Hey, somebody get the Holy Ghost and bring him to our service. I'm telling you, we need a fresh anointing from God. Oh, yeah. So he goes down there. You know the story. How they go through boy after boy after boy. There's Eliab. He's impressive. He's tall. He's strong. And I can see old Samuel. He gets up, starts to jerk the lid off that horn of oil. And God said, put the lid back on, boy. That ain't him. And they go through 7 of those boys. Finally, Samuel's just exhausted. And he says, anybody else? And Jesse said, well, I got another boy. But he's out there watching sheep. He's just a young boy, he's red-headed, freckle-faced. I'm not sure that's the one you're looking for. And I like what Samuel said. He said, you go fetch him. He's from southern Israel. He said, you go fetch him. We ain't going to sit down until the king comes hither. Boy, I'll tell you what a thought that is. Let's don't sit down till the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes back again. And the word of God said, oh, Samuel, when he saw him, God said, that's the one. Take the oil off the horn. Put the oil on that boy. That's the next king of the nation of Israel. But it was Samuel who introduced David to the life of royalty. Now, bear with me for just a moment. But think about David before that day. Think about David out there watching the sheep. I mean, all he ever aspired to do before that meeting with the preacher Before he ever met the preacher, all he wanted to do was just be a shepherd boy. I mean, he was out there slinging rocks and writing songs and killing lions and killing bears. I mean, that's what his life was. David wanted to be a shepherd boy. And by the way, to be a shepherd in the land of Israel was kind of on the lowest rung of the ladder. I'm talking about, job, professionally speaking. Those shepherds were looked down as being dirty people. They were not able to attend the synagogue for weeks and weeks on out. So they were looked at as the offscouring of society. But that's what David wanted to do. That's what David's life was. David was just going to be a shepherd boy. But then came the good day when God sent a preacher into his life. And that preacher told David, God's got bigger plans for your life, David, than even you've got for your life. God's got a plan. God's got an ideal for your life, son. And it's not out there watching sheep. God wants you to be royalty. Boy, I think about the good day when God sent a preacher into my life. I had low ideals for my life. You know what I wanted to do at the age of 16? Not that there's anything bad with this, but I wanted to be a truck driver. You got to remember back in those days, Smokey and the Bandit, the movies. And truck driving was cool. And everybody had a CB radio, and everybody had a handle or a name that they went by. Boy, I got me a goose down vest. I got me a cat hat. Man, I'll tell you, I was going to drive a truck. Man, every time I got around diesel smoke, something happened on the inside of me. Like the lady said last night, I started getting goosebumps on my heart. I mean, man, I wanted to drive a truck. But then came the good day when God sent a preacher into my life. And that preacher said, Brother Tim, God's got bigger plans for your life, son, than even you've got for your life. And he introduced me to the life of royalty. You stop and think about your life. I mean, there you were, man, out there in the field somewhere, and your plan for your life was to attend as many parties as you could attend, to drink as much liquor as you could drink, to make as many babies as you could make, to live a life of debauchery. That was your plan, from one party to the next party, from one motel to the next motel. But thank God for a day somebody invited you to the house of God and up into the pulpit walked a man of God with an old King James Bible, and he began to tell you, God's got bigger plans for you than that, boy. Hey, ma'am, God's got bigger plans for you than that. And he introduced you that day to the life of royalty. Thank God for a preacher of introduction. I'll tell you how it worked in my family. It all started with a preacher that walked into my daddy's life. My daddy and mama got married, and long before I was ever thought of, my daddy went to work at the plastic plant in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Daddy was working there, and my daddy wasn't saved, and he just got out of the Army, just mustered out of the Army, and he was mean. And then my mama got married, and things weren't going well in their life. It was trouble. My daddy went and got a job down at the plastic plant, and unbeknownst to my daddy, there was a preacher that worked in the plastic plant by the name of Rayton Puckett. He walked into my daddy's life, began to tell my daddy about Jesus, began to tell my daddy about how that Jesus had bigger plans for his life than even my daddy had for his life. He told my daddy about somebody that loved him, somebody that cared for him, somebody that would help him and change his life. Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto our God. That's the three things God wants to do for everybody. Unto him that loved us, he cares. Unto him that washed us, he cleanses. Unto him that has made us kings and priests, he changes. But I'll tell you, you never give anything to God that he don't change and give back better to you. And that man of God walked into my daddy's life. Wasn't long till my daddy went down to the parsonage, to the church where he was pastoring, and my daddy got born again. Him and mama started getting along, so they tell me. And then that changed the course of history for my family. My mom and daddy started going to church. I came along, my first sister, mean as a junkyard dog. She came along. And then I came along. And all I ever knew was going to church. Mom and Daddy took me to church. Every time the doors were open, we left the house. I didn't have to wonder where we were going on Sunday night. I didn't get up on Sunday morning and think, are we going to church today? God had sent a preacher into my daddy's life, and he introduced him to the life of royalty. And then at the age of 16, God sent a preacher into my life. Brother Treber, he was an unusual preacher. You got to understand, I'm kind of from the mountains, the foothills of North Carolina. This preacher couldn't even read. He was a sawmiller for a living. He was a saw, worked at a sawmill. He couldn't even read. And every Saturday night, his wife would sit down. She could. And she would sit down and read to him the Bible. And he'd get up the next morning and say something like this. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 11. I'm preaching this morning from the story of Lazarus. And he would, just from memory, he would preach. Didn't have an education. But I tell you, the more he preached, something started happening on the inside of me. He might not have been able to read, but he knew there was a great big God up there. And that great big God had his hand on that man's life. And the more he preached, man, the more I found out I was lost. And it wasn't long till one night at the age of 16, I walked into the family of God. He had introduced me to the life of royalty. Can I say now that I've been introduced to the King by a preacher? It's my job to introduce others. I want to be a preacher of introduction. Man, those people that attend my church, I want to introduce them to the one who cares and the one who cleanses and the one who can change their life. I want to introduce them to a brand new kind of living. I want to tell them every Sunday morning, God's got bigger plans for you than drinking liquor. And God's got bigger plans for you than your debauchery in your life. And God's got bigger plans for you than that weed that you smoke. There's a God in heaven that's got big plans for your life. A preacher of introduction, that was Samuel. But there was a second preacher that walked into David's life. And his name was Gad. G-A-D. By the way, Samuel means heard. You know the reason Samuel walked into David's life? Because his mama prayed for him. You know the reason some preacher walked into your life one day? Because there's somebody somewhere praying for you. And God thought enough of you. God loved you so much. In answer to the prayer of your mama, or in answer to your prayer of your sister, or in answer to the prayer of somebody that thought something of you, God in love and in grace and in mercy sent a preacher into your life. Samuel means heard. Gad, the name Gad simply means this. It means treasure. Yeah, Gad, David over toward the end of his life, David needed some instruction. I'm not going to the long story of it, but David needed some instruction in his life. Samuel was the prophet of introduction. Gad was the prophet of instruction. You know, once you get saved, once you walk into the kingly life, the life of royalty, you need somebody to provide a little bit of instruction for you. David was in a mess over in that chapter, and he needed some help. He had counted the people of God, took a census, and boy, God was ticked off about that. And boy, I tell you, the judgment of God was fixing to fall. David was hunting for somebody who could tell him that he needed how to get right with God, how he could please God. And in walked a treasure by the name of Gad. He began to provide instruction for the king. Well, I tell you what, when God saved me, I'd been in church all my life, but I didn't listen. I knew very little about living for God. At the age of 16, my mom and my daddy's church, they were always fussing and fighting. One day I asked my daddy, I said, Daddy, do you mind if can I borrow the truck? My daddy had a 1981 GMC pickup, 3-speed on the column. I don't even think they make them anymore. I said, Daddy, can I borrow the truck? I'm going to go find me a church where there ain't no fussing and fighting. My daddy said, you go, and if you find one, let me know because I'm coming too. Went down to the Little Mountain Baptist Church. I'd never been to a church with a lot of people. Our church run 35 or 40 people. And that day I drove in the parking lot of the Little Mountain Baptist Church. There's probably 100 of them standing out in the front yard smoking cigarettes. That crowd scared me, so I just drove in one side, circled the church, and drove back out the other side, went back to the other church. But the next Sunday, I got enough courage. I got enough courage to go in. And I walked in on that Sunday morning, and the preacher preached. And my hair was long, had long hair. I just got saved. I hadn't even been baptized. Nobody even told me I needed to get baptized. I was struggling. I wanted to do right. I wanted to live for God. I didn't know how. They didn't have youth pastors back when I was a teenager. The young people did everything the old folks did. I mean, man, we went to the old folks Sunday school class. We didn't have a class for teenagers. I mean, I could have went to the 6- and 7-year-old class, but as a teenager, it ain't very cool to walk in there with a bunch of 6- and 7-year-olds. So I had to go to the adult classes. I mean, there was nothing like that for young, for teen. So I went down there to that church. And there I was, walked in, and he preached that morning. They shouted. I'd never seen anything like that in my life, but I liked it. Something got a hold of me in that place. And I started to walk out. He was standing at the back door shaking hands. His name was Bill Watson. Standing at the back door shaking hands. And I walked by, and he took me by the hand, and he said, "Hey, we're glad to have you this morning. Thank you for coming." He said, "Have you been saved?" And I said, "Yes, sir, preacher. I ain't been saved too long, but I got saved." He said, "Well, I tell you what," he said, "we have soul winning around here on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. And he said, "I'd like for you to come." He said, "If you come," he said, "you can go with me out on soul winning." I didn't know anything much about that, but if he was inviting me, I was going to go. And right before I got out the door, he said, "Hey, Tim." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Get your hair cut before you come." Now, nobody had ever told me to get my hair cut, but that's what the preacher said. If I was going to go on soul winning, though I didn't know what it was, I went and got me a haircut. I went and crawled up in the Granite City Barbershop in downtown Mount Airy, North Carolina. Craig Edwards' daddy, Joe Edwards, was cutting hair. And he said, "What kind of haircut you want?" I said, "I don't know." I said, the preacher said something about soul winning. I said, "I'd probably want one of them soul winning haircuts, I guess." "Oh," he said, "I know what you're talking about. You want one of them Southside specials." I said, "Is that a soul winning haircut?" He said, "That's the closest thing we got to it." I said, "Then that's what I want. I want one of them Southside specials." Man, when I got out of that barber chair, it looked like I had white walls on the side of my head. It looked like I had a fluorescent light. I mean, the skin was shining through. I crawled out of that chair and I thought, "Oh my soul, what happened?" I walked into the Tuesday night, next service Tuesday night on soul winning. Preacher was there. And I walked up to him. I said, is this like what y'all talk about, a soul winning haircut right here?" He said, "That looks good. Let's get in the car and go." And can I tell you, over the next 4, 5, 6 years of my life, that man of God began to pour his life into my life. It wasn't long, God called me to preach, 18 years old, backward, shy, wouldn't even look you in the eye. You don't think God has a sense of humor? God called somebody like me to preach. Can I tell you, and I'll tell you, I'll be real quick about it, but the night I went forward to announce my call to preach, it was a Halloween night, and I walked down the aisle. Boy, God had been dealing with me about preaching, but I mean, man, backward, shy, couldn't look in the eye. How is God going to call somebody like me to preach? But I tell you, I walked down the aisle that night, and I said, "Lord, if that's what you want, I don't know anything about it, but I'll do it." And I just walked down the aisle. A man by the name of Joe Questenberry drove a Merida bread truck, come up, put his arm around me, and he said, "Tim," he said, "can I help you?" I said, "Yes, sir, Brother Joe." I said, "The Lord has called me to preach." Now, I could have used a word of encouragement about Ben, but here's what he said: "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes, sir, Brother Joe, sure as I can be." He said, "Don't you say a word till you talk to the preacher." Well, right after church, I made a beeline for the preacher. And I went to him. I said, "Brother Bill, can I talk to you just a minute?" He said, "Yes, sir." We walked back to Sunday school room, and he said, "What's going on?" I said, "Brother Bill, I don't know how to tell you this, but the Lord's called me to preach." My pastor looked at me and said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes, sir. The Lord's called me to preach." He said, "Well, if he's called you to preach, I'm going to give you an opportunity to preach." And on the Thanksgiving, Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, preached my first message, 18 years old. Preached 3 minutes. Preached everything anew. Some things I wasn't sure about, but preached them anyway. 3 minutes. Brother Bill said, all right, man, was that not the greatest first sermon you ever heard in your life? He said, y'all come around, shake his hand. People come by, file by, and shook my hand. I started out the door that night, preacher, and there was a deacon. And Brother Frank met us. He's from Flint, Michigan, retired pastor, one of our deacons. They didn't even know I was behind them. And old Frank, the preacher, Brother Frank, looked over at that deacon and said, you know, it's hard to believe God would call somebody like that to preach. And that old deacon looked back at that preacher and he said, well, I guess time will tell. Boy, God did something in my heart that night. I made up my mind that, and there's been times I wanted to quit. There's been times maybe on laying in the bed I did quit. But I hear the words of that old deacon say back to that preacher, time will tell. Boy, I'm 62 years old tonight, but I want time to tell that God did what I said he did that night. I want to hang in there. I want to finish right. But I said all that to say this. Thank God for a preacher who gave me some instruction on how to live for God. I watched that preacher when he baptized in the pulpit. I wrote down what he said when he baptized. When he did a funeral, I'd write down what he said when he did a funeral. When he preached, I'd write down his outline. When he dealt with problems in the church, I wrote down, and boy, I mean to tell you, he is my preacher, and you weren't going to talk about my preacher. And there's a crowd that got against him, and I was going to throw him out of the church. Man, I took his side. I stood up that night to make a motion to throw them out of church. How's that for turning the tables? Brother Bill said, we got to do something. Who wants to do something? I was back when Shia said. He said, what you want to do? I said, I'll make a motion. We dismiss him from membership. And I memorized this verse, on the grounds there's so in discord among the brethren. Didn't even look nobody in the eye. Preacher said, we got a motion. The other man said, we got a second. We voted them out of church. You don't mess with my preacher. That man of God done poured his life into me. He spent time with me. He put his hands on my life. He told me how to live for God. Thank God for a preacher of introduction. Thank God for a preacher of instruction. But now I'm done, but come to our text. David's in a mess. 2 Samuel chapter 12. David's life can really be divided into two sections. Before Bathsheba and after Bathsheba. And in our text, he's right in the middle of it. You know, before there was Watergate, there was Bathsheba Gate. Yes, sir. David's messed up. He's in a mess. You know, when you read the Bible, if you're not careful, here's how the scenario in your mind would play out. David messed up. Just a day or two, preacher came over and knocked on the palace door, and David got right with God. But that ain't how it worked. Most people think after David sinned with Bathsheba, it was an entire year, and he never said nothing to God about it. I mean, he was a mess. If you want to read what he was going through, read Psalms 32. And he talked about the hand of God in Psalms 32. Watch this. The heavy hand of a holy God was bearing down on David. If you're saved, friend, if you're saved and you mess up, the heavy hand of a holy God. Some people think that when you sin, God does this. I happen to think when we sin, God does this. David was in the hand of God. Then he said this, my moisture, Psalms 32, my moisture's turned into the drought of summer. He dried up on the inside. Let me tell you something, you got dirt in your heart, there's going to be drought in your soul. Can I have a amen on that one? You get dirt in your heart, there's going to be, he's a mess. But God ain't give up on him. You know why? A year later, preacher went over there by the name of Nathan. God had a Samuel heard. God had a Gad, a treasure. But God had a Nathan, and it means gift. God had a gift. Oh, David had messed up. He's pleading the fifth. One of my favorite shows was one that took place out here called Adam 12. And on Adam 12, they'd say this, you have the right to remain silent. If you give up that right to remain silent, anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. But when it comes to sin in the life of a believer, we don't have the right to remain silent. You can't plead the fifth and be right with God. David was pleading the fifth. He kept it to himself. He was a mess.
His life was a mess. He was miserable on the inside. Maybe everything was perking along on the outside, but he was miserable on the inside. And one day, went to the door. There stood a preacher. You know what that preacher signified? God ain't give up on him yet. God sent a preacher of introduction and a preacher of instruction. But God sent him a Nathan, a preacher of injunction, to warn him, to plead with him to get right with God. Can I say this? I thank God for the Nathans that God has sent across the path of my life. Listen, I stand before you tonight and I'm a mess. I am a mess, but I'm not in a mess, though I am a mess. And the only reason I can tell you that I'm not in a mess, even though I am a mess, is because every once in a while, God would give me a gift in the pulpit who'd stand up with that Bible, stick his bony finger in my face, though he didn't know he was sticking it in my face. He called my name, though he didn't even know he was calling my name. He jacked me up, though he didn't even know he was jacking me up. But God cared enough and loved me enough to send somebody to get my face. Tell me, if you don't turn around, if you don't get right with God, your life's going to turn into a mess. Thank God for the Nathans that he sent along the pathway of my life. I wanted to be left alone, but God wouldn't leave me alone. I was enjoying the darkness, but God turned on the light. Thank God for preachers who stand up in the pulpit and preach the Word of God to us. I'm done with this, but I got to tell you this. You know, back in 1 Samuel chapter 8, I told you about Samuel and the ministry of Samuel. There's a verse back there when finally they had rejected Samuel. And they wanted not a theocracy, but they wanted a monarchy, and so they had to have a king. And God told Samuel, he said, okay. He said, you go ahead and give them a king. But in 1 Samuel 8, verse 9, he said, now therefore hearken unto them, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, protest solemnly unto them. Go ahead and give them what they want, but raise a voice of protest against it. Thank God for men of God who'll get in the pulpit and raise a voice of protest about what's going on in our lives. Hey, listen, I can't keep people from making dumb decisions, but I can get in the pulpit and raise a voice of protest against it. I can't keep people from committing adultery, but I can get in the pulpit and raise a voice of protest against it. I can't stop people from getting a divorce. I can't keep people from rebelling. I can't stop people from drinking their liquor. I can't keep people from smoking their weed. I can't keep people from getting out of the will of God. But bless your heart, I can get in the pulpit service after service after service, and I can raise a voice of protest against them. You know why? I want to try to salvage their life. I don't want them to mess up. And I said all that to say this, I sure am glad God has sent some Nathans into my life to keep me from becoming a mess. Every creature needs a preacher. And I want to say to every preacher in here tonight, I want to be a preacher of introduction. I want to introduce others to plans that they didn't know God had for them. I want to be a preacher of instruction. After we get them introduced, we got to instruct them. And if they go astray, I want to be a preacher who's got enough about him who will get in the pulpit and point a finger in their face or go to their house and say, you messed up. If you don't turn around, God's going to cut the lights out on you. I want to be a preacher of injunction. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.